Hi, this is Kevin, and I'm interviewing Dr. Ulrike Gross from Heidelberg. Köln, Germany, right?
Yes.
Okay, and we're gonna interview her about her involvement in the healing missions here through Bethesda Clinic in Uganda and her experience. She's going to participate in these as a doctor, as a surgeon, and so anyway, let's go ahead. So, could you give us some background about yourself?
Well, I am a general surgeon in Germany, and I'm also a follower of Christ, and I heard about the healing mission in 2009 at our international summer conference. Yeah.
Okay, so you've been involved from, how many times have you gone on this healing mission?
Two times until now, 2010 and this year in January.
So, what's involved in this healing mission? I mean, how long is this, what's the scope of the mission? I mean, as far as location, duration, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
So this healing mission camp is around 4 to 5 days, and it is to bring some medical help to remote areas of Uganda. They could not receive any proper medical treatment or even medication as a sign of to bring them the love of Jesus, and to also bring them some practical help.
So, like, how you say 4 or 5 days when you go out on these healing missions with your team? Where do you stay? I mean, do you stay out there, or do you come back into the city?
The location is too far to commute to Kampala every day, so we stayed there where the mission camp, where the healing mission camp was. In 2010, it was at a health center that belonged to the Evangelical Church in Uganda, and there was also a theological college and a school, and they had very nice guest rooms, and they were hosting us really from all their heart. And in this year, we have been to Bubuma Island, which is an island, a big island in Lake Victoria. And there are only very small health centers. And unlike 2 years before, we stayed in a school building. The school was empty because children had holidays at that time.
Okay, and then the size of this healing mission, I mean, could you tell me how many doctors, how many, I heard you had interpreters and other servants, people serving, in this mission. How big is the mission?
Altogether around, last time it was altogether around 50 people, and I think in 2010 it maybe should have been the same. And but only a small part of them are the doctors. For example, 2010 we had 3 surgeons, 1 gynecologist, 3 or 4 pediatricians, 2 internal medicine doctors, 1 family practice medicine doctor, and that was all. But we also had a laboratory technician, and we had several nurses, including 1 operation room nurse, and also some medical students, also some of the people from Uganda who joined us. 2010, there were only few from Uganda because they did not have holidays at that time. But this year, quite a lot from Uganda OBF joined us, mostly interpreting and also for practical servantship. And there was a big team from Korea, and they also prepared some education team, for example, education about hygienic aspects or about how to brush your teeth and how to obtain clean water and practical things. And also they had some a drama team which was showing waiting patients a short drama about how Jesus saves us. And they had a team for entertaining the waiting children with face painting and some games. And so there were different activities, not only medical related.
Now, you had an operating room nurse. You're a surgeon. Did you perform any surgeries during these trips?
Yes, sure. This is why we came there. 2010, I wanted to... we divided into three teams. One team was working at the local health center. One team was going with a bus to different villages, every day to another village. And one team working at the Navy Hospital. This was the surgery team and the gynecologist and also the dentist. We had also had a dentist at both healing mission camps. And then I wanted to know every part of this healing mission. And so one day I joined the healing, the local health center. One day the village, and the other 2 days I spent in operation room. And first time because we were 3 surgeons and could perform 2 operations at a time, and also had good not only local anesthesia but also spinal anesthesia possibilities. We could do around 40 operations. And last time it was a bit different. We only had 2 surgeons, and so if we wanted to perform 2 procedures at a time, then somebody else had to assist us, or we had to just work on our own. And we only had local anesthesia, so this was quite a challenge. And this took us a lot of time, because you have to inject, you have to wait, then you have to inject again, then maybe you can start, then you have to wait again, inject again, and so on. So every procedure took a longer time, and so we did, in 4 days we did 26 operations.
Wow, that's a lot of operations. Are you able to practice medicine here in Uganda without Ugandan government certification, or did you have to get certification somehow?
These 2 times our license was covered by the license of the responsible doctors, Dr. Lu Klim and Dr. Samuel Yu. But next time I want to try to obtain a short-term license for Uganda. It was not last time. It was not possible to get the required documents in time. For example, I needed a certificate of good standing, and that needs at least 6 weeks to get it in Germany. And I only heard about this maybe 2 weeks before I left Germany. So it was I was short of time. But next time. I will try to obtain a proper license.
So So among the, I mean, it's kind of a, it's a Christian mission among the workers. Was there some devotional time together? I mean, worship time together, prayer time, or was it like all work? And what kind of, was there sort of a spiritual life among the workers, sort of?
Yeah, we had every morning morning devotion together, and we also had at the end of the day a meeting where we were discussing practical topics, what we could improve, or what was gone wrong, or what was very good, and to have some exchange. And also this was closed with a with a prayer together. Hmm. And also at the first meeting I attended in 2010, we also had a worship service for the patients. So we started our day with worship service for the patients.
Wow, that's great.
The operation room team with a short worship service for the operation room staff. And so every one of us was telling a short message. We prepared in advance. And I thought I should prepare a message only for our staff members. So I prepared, you give them something to eat. But then it turned out I was standing with my message in front of maybe 100 Africans. So it didn't seem to me appropriate with the schemas. So I quickly changed, I quickly switched, and I reported about my own experience with Jesus, how I met Jesus, and I also talked about Jesus who saw the crowd of people like sheep without shepherd, to deliver some of Jesus' shepherd heart. And the Africans were very joyful to join this worship service. But I thought, okay, they are coming to get medical help, and if their worship service is required to attend first, it is okay for them. But the next day, I saw at the worship service, the patients I had only treated the day before. So they did not come for the treatment, but for the worship service. I was very delighted. At his first place, this was in Nebbi district, which is close to the border of Congo. Because of this was a Christian health center, the spiritual environment was very good. And most our patients were believers, and they they would come maybe for the worship service rather than for medical treatment. And we're very delighted.
So were you fully supplied as far as your equipment and medication, and then who's in charge of getting everything ready, getting everything prepared for the team?
Well, a big amount of equipment was brought by the brothers and sisters from Korea. For example, they prepared the operation instruments. You find something at least there at the health center or at the Nebbi hospital where we worked. But what you find or not find is always a surprise. You never know in advance, or you know don't know exactly. And we have to improve our communication about this topic, about the equipment of the health center, and also what can be brought by South Korea, what cannot be brought by South Korea. For example, voltage in South Korea and in Uganda is different, but it's the same in Germany and in Uganda. So electric devices are better brought by Germany. Other things maybe can be better brought by South Korea because they have a big team and so they can carry a lot of baggage. Mm. I was traveling with one or two persons, and so we could only manage to carry maybe 35 or 40 kilograms, but that was all.
I suppose people are very thankful, you know, for the medical team. How do they express their thanks sometimes? I mean, is there some unique story that you have about people expressing thanksgiving for what was done?
Well, there was one funny story, but I think this was not the thankfulness of one of the patients, but one of the local co-workers who somehow wanted us to serve with the very best. So what Africans like to eat in this region were eggs. So they came into the office hour at the middle of the time and delivered me and my translator six boiled eggs.
Delicious.
And two bottles of Coke, which was in their eyes the best she could give us.
Well, that's a beautiful heart to do that, yeah.
I was not able to eat six boiled eggs during office time.
Maybe if you were a weightlifter or something.
But my translator was really delighted to take everything home. He was very joyful.
So, you know, you're there for 4 days. You have great unity together. You know, you're bonding with the people, serving them, and just love growing, you know. How do you end it all? How does it all end? I mean, you just like, well, 4 o'clock, let's pack bags and goodbye. I mean, is there some kind of celebration or, you know...
Yeah, we have some kind not really celebration. It is a lot of packing everything together and getting away. But we have some closing meeting where we collect our Thanksgiving topics and prayer topics and so on.
Was there ever any time that you were in danger, maybe? I mean, is there any dangerous moments, or did you just feel safe? I know people in Uganda are very safe, very friendly, and well, how did you feel at times?
I never felt unsafe in the sense of being robbed or pickpocket or something. In this case it was safe, but you should be aware of some diseases in Uganda that are not common in Western countries. Like you should be aware of the high percentage of HIV infections you do not know about. You cannot test every patient you are doing surgery on about HIV infection. So you never know. So if you cut your finger, maybe you can catch HIV or hepatitis or something else. And I was considering. I wanted to learn the medical students who came along with us as many practical things as possible, and even assisting operations and so on. But you should be very aware that you are responsible for them. If they cut, so somehow you are responsible for it. So it was quite a dilemma. But I put education of them first, and so you have to trust it into the hand of God. You do not know if the patient has any infection or not. In Nebi, we had no single positive HIV test. We had the possibility to do some HIV tests for some other reason. For example, I saw a female patient who had a really bad diarrhea more than 6 months, and already tried several medicaments against worms and anything that could cause it, but it could not get better, and she lost a lot of weight and had some other symptoms. So I have had her tested, but this test also was negative. And so all tests in HIV were negative. And I think this is due to this Christian environment. So promiscuity is not common in that area. And I think this is an important point. And this environment in the island was not really Christian, and we felt a big difference between these two healing mission camps. Like in Nebi, the environment was very encouraging. Like all local co-workers were really giving their best to serve the patients. Even they have no material, medicaments are lacking. I found all normal, ordinary diseases are treated very well. People are in general very good health. And this was in the island, it was very, very different. Like local co-workers were not caring at all. They had six co-workers, but I don't think we have seen them all. They would not show up. And the medical officer who was in charge, he just ran around contaminating everything in our operation room and to show that he is important.
I found this frustrating.
The difference was very big. And so I thought that not only medical education is important, but also to give medical staff some spiritual input, help them to feel as good shepherds. Who try their best and can even go with five loaves and two fish, and who can persist in really bad circumstances.
Are you planning, this is a yearly thing that goes on, are you planning to come back and participate in the future?
Yeah, I'm planning to continue next year. We had no healing mission camp in 2011 because then there were elections here in Uganda, and elections are a time where riots can happen, and that is dangerous to travel. And so the Korean team cancelled the healing mission camp, and I could truly not do such a thing with three people from Germany.
Well, Doctor, thank you so much for sharing about this healing mission. It's very encouraging. Hopefully, maybe one day I can participate. And we're definitely going to pray for this mission. It's a great great thing that's happening. So thank you for your work and your faith. And I'm sure many people will be praying for you.
You're welcome.